This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're locked into The Pulse, Daryl and Hanif with you this evening. Just before the break, we did a story on how the new normal is like for the orchestras in the country. If you'd like to revisit that interview we did with the conductor, Martin Rutherford, you can head over to our podcast real soon, www.bfm.my/pulse.
Yep. Up next on the show is a familiar voice on the station. You may have heard him before on shows like A Bit of Culture and Twang. Of course, I'm talking about musician / lecturer Azmil Yuno. Yeah, he's just released his latest album, John Bangi Blues. So we're here to catch up with him to talk about the album and releasing new music during the pandemic. Welcome to the show, Azmil. Now, while we were communicating before the interview, you asked me to listen to the album in one sitting. And I did, and I dig the sound of this new album. But may I know why you asked me to listen to it in one sitting?
Well, it's also because of the album format, which is increasingly, I wouldn't say under threat, but it's not the go-to, right? I mean, now a lot of musicians release singles, and EP. Whereas I think an album demands a certain commitment, not just by the listener, but even by the artist recording it. Because it may not be conceptual, but there's a lot of thought in terms of, like, I've spent a couple of months ding-donging the order with my friend who's producing, and also conceptualizing, designing the album, the physical album, not just, I mean, if you see it online, it's just that one picture, but if you open the album, it's a tangible thing. There's this color scheme, the photos that I use. So it's just that, I'm just curious to pick your brain a bit in terms of listening from beginning to end. You can change it. I mean, but that is the how, for example, it's like filmmaker, you make a film a certain way. And there's a lot of thought into the action, the three-act structure, what happens next, the character. And for me, that is why I enjoy making albums. That's why I still make albums. You know, my background's not music. I never studied music, but my background's filmmaking. And I always felt that there needs to be something coherent in the order.
It's interesting that you brought up concept album, because I do listen to a couple of concept albums, and I think one of those people that still like to listen to an album, I think, from the first song to the last song. And the thing about concept album is that you always have to listen to the song in order, right? While you said that your album is not technically a concept album, the songs, were they arranged in a certain order? Were there any curation involved when it comes to, I guess, arranging the songs?
I think the curation is primarily, and thanks to Arif, my producer, co-producer. He's also a singer-songwriter. He gave two different ideas. One is just making it in order that seems like just a collection of songs, which would be probably something more of the Gen Z approach to an album. And he's very aware of that. Secondly, is to also follow a certain... I always felt it's... I always joke, I don't write albums, I write cinema. Sounds pretentious, lah. So, but it's like there's a certain narrative flow that is... So conceptual albums, I think lyrics and all, it comes into one, right? And it all becomes this flow. Whereas mine, I think there's still space where the song can exist on its own. But in terms of ordering it the way it was, I think it's more about the sonic quality of the songs and how it leads you throughout. And I think Arif meant put Lupa Diri, the last song, which I never thought about, because he thought that's the most personal song on the album. And he said that, hey, that makes sense, because it is in the first person. Lupa Diri is essentially about the modern Malay male, kahwin, then it's not about you anymore now, So, but I think it's also about reclaiming that. Come on, and there's some gender politics in that song, Boleh lah, honey, it's about, men, corner power, tapi benda pun masih kena tanya bini. So that's all that subtext, but it might be lost, and I'm not so concerned with loss. But I think the order allows something to emerge, hopefully.
Yeah.
As we see through it, yeah.
Speaking of order, I think now that you mention it and thinking about it again, I think the song started out commenting on, I think, politics to an extent, and then it slowly becomes a bit more personal as the more you listen to it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And apart from that, I think you also said that this album is good to listen to while you're driving. That's something that I haven't heard in a while. People have driving playlists to listen to these days, but it's rare for an album to be designed or constructed that way, right? So what goes behind the thinking of creating a good album for driving, if that's the intention?
Well, I mean, I'm on the road all the time. Just by default, I live in Bangin, and you know, and roads are, I think, very, very strong metaphors to a lot of things about movement, opportunity, escape. And if you see the album sleeve, there's a lot of, even the CD design, there's a lot of allusions to roads. And I think I've started to notice that it seems to be a strong metaphor in a lot of my album art. Like Warga 10 years ago had roads. I think Wilayah had some suggestion to that. Even Waswas had, I mean, some of the videos was about journeys. So I think the road is a very strong metaphor for me. I mean, cinematically, there's the road movie. You know, the road movie genre is like the character starts in a particular predicament or his personality is this, and as they go on his journey, they change. So I think roads are always interesting metaphors to that. But also as a album that I think works on the road is because I think if you drive, if you commute, music is often a companion to that. It's a soundtrack to our lives. And just being away from every, I mean, like, Bangi's not that far out, but you still need to travel out. So I've always grown up listening to albums. Like if you have cassette, I was listening front to end primarily because it's in the player and it just plays through. So in that sense, even like my previous album, some friends say, hey, this is great driving albums. Like, oh, cool. So it wasn't conscious, but maybe with this one, be more conscious because there's a certain energy that the song has and certain sonic quality that encourages you to maybe wind down your window and blast the album loud. So maybe in that way, I think this, and it's brief. This album's not the shortest album I've done, but this is probably about 30 minutes, so it doesn't overstay its welcome. Anywhere, you know, 30 minutes is comfortable. So this is just a nice album for that.
Speaking of which, I think the album seems to touch on very local and grassroots aspects of life, and I guess it's also released during the pandemic. How was it like to be working on this album during this period?
Promoting the works now is a tricky thing now. Recording albums is easy. And doing it during the MCO. But I think the tricky thing for me now that I'm trying to hack is how do I get this album out? I mean, it's selling online, post is fine, but touring is gone, right? I can't perform. And that's been always the traditional method of, if you're underground, independent then, you tour, and then you push your CDs or your merch. So that remains unanswered. So I'm still exploring that.
Have you considered alternatives like, I guess, live streaming, which is something that I think people do these days, but may not necessarily bring in the money, right?
Yeah, I've played a few, and I realize that I get good tips, but the problem is a lot of bands are trying it out, and most of the time, it's really hard. People don't see that exchange happening. Like, I pay, but I just see you online, you know? It's not the same as I think that occasion and effort needs to be there for people to pay. So it's tricky, I think. And we got to scale up if you're gonna do live streaming. You can't just put your phone or your tablet and play in front and do it FB live. Sound is very important, so you need a bit of that. Not spending, but I think some more thought on mixing the sound live, because like film, a bad sound in a film would destroy the film. Same thing with watching a live stream. So I think those alternatives are there, but they do not replace anything. I think it's a welcome addition now that we have live streaming. I think it's great that finally we can use that medium. But I don't think it's here to replace anything. Live music still is live music.
Thank you very much, Azmil. That was Azmil Yuno, folk rock musician that has just released his latest rock and roll album called John Bangi Blues. You can listen to it and get the digital album on Azmil's Bandcamp at azmil.bandcamp.com or the physical version at local music shops.
That's right. Azmil is a really cool guy, a regular on BFM. At one point of time, he actually had his own show, a folk music show on BFM. It's called Twang. I think the archives for the podcast are still up there. So if you'd like to hear more of Azmil, do head over to our website. I just want to say one thing. I really was inspired by one sentence he said. I think more bands should write cinema, not albums.
Yeah, he did say that it sounds pretentious, but I agree. I think to a certain extent, it is an approach that you can take when it comes to songwriting.
For sure. Yeah. So let's listen to some cinema now.
Here's the first track from John Bangi Blues. This is Penghasut Blues by Azmil Yuno. You're listening to The Pulse on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.